What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the New York Minute. I'm your host, Marisa Champion Burbage, and today... Yeah, I had to sneak that in there. We're talking about Children of Lilith. Oh! Supernatural versus cards! This box just dropped a couple days ago, and shout out to D-Rob and over at Buckeye, Team Buckeye. He went ahead and got his copy and spoiled the cards. There's a lot of controversy with this 55 we're going to talk about. There's a ton of controversy behind this box and what the future holds for Versus. But we're just going to talk about the cards like we always do here. And there's even a couple of sneak peeks into the next episode of New York Minute, which is going to be the Market Watch. We're going to talk about them. All right, let's get into these cards. Let's get into the Children of Lilith, man. First up, we have the main character of the box. The only main character of the box. The calling card of the box. It's Mantle Lilith. This card we've known about for quite some time, except there's a huge difference. In the box, it's Mantle Lilith, but in real life, when we were at Midwinter, she didn't have the stars on her name, which makes Big Card Lilith or Mantle Lilith an error big card. It's not correct. It, as far as I know, is the only big card with an error on it. A blatant mistake on the card. If you are into error on cards or erroneous loot in your games, that is one of, it's a piece of history. It's the only time that's happened as far as I know. Which means that there's probably some monetary or otherwise sentimental value in that card. This is my first little sneak peek into the next Market Watch. Make a deal, because these cards exist, they're not correct, and they could hold some value later on down the road. As for Lilith herself, she's a 356 Underworld affiliated Mother of the Lilin. During the build, you pay a blue. Reveal the top 5 cards from your deck. Put a Lilin from among them into your hand. Shuffle the rest back into your deck. My children will inherit the earth. Level up 5. When a Lilin appears on your side, Mantle Lilith gains 1 XP. Okay. We're going to talk about Lilith level 2 after her children. But as for this, she's actively trying to help herself. If you see 2 of 8, 3 of 8, you're getting your guys that you need to flip. And maybe they're able to fight. Maybe they're able to grow. Maybe they're able to take the board over so that you aren't a 356 that can't fight on your own. We're going to see that in a second. I don't want to flip on turn 5 with this. I don't want to flip on 5. I would want to go 1-2-1-1-4 or something like that. You need it to be closer to turn 3 to be as fast as other well-rounded, reasonable mains. If you're flipping on 5, you have a health problem. If you're flipping on 5, you probably lost the board. If you're flipping on 5, the combo guy is about to kill you. Keep that in mind as we talk about the Lilin in a second. All right, here we go. Meat Market is a 1-cost 1-1-1 Underworld. He's a Lilin, and that means he has +3/+3 while attacking a good enemy character. That includes the main. So he's a 4-4 if they're a good guy. Otherwise, he's a 1-1-1. And then he has Rotting Body. When an enemy character gets KO'd on your turn, put 2+1/+1 counters on Meat Market. Okay, this card is actually bad. He needed to be a 2-2 or a 3-3. Being fair on rate is really bad. There is no promise that you're going to be able to send him into a good character unless it's a good main. Like, why would I give you juice stats? Why would I cast guys and have you have an effective static unwavering loyalty on your whole team? That doesn't make any sense. If I don't have to cast a good supporting character, I'm not going to. He has 1 health, and this ability doesn't work on... This card's not good, man. This card's not good. On team, Helmet Zemo's a better 1-drop. Carnage is a better 1-drop. Solo is a better 1-drop. I'm out on this guy. But Mantle Lilith has to play this, right? This is the only 1-cost child that she has. 2-cost, we have Skinner. He's a 2-2-1. I see a trend here. I hope it's not the case. Underworld Lillen. So he's a 5-5 while attacking a good guy. And he has razor sharp protrusions. Skinner has violent and lethal. We've seen cards like this in the game. And they have had their praises sung. I'm worried that he just dive bombs into a better card. But he has lethal. If you need to take down a really big guy. Or just a better guy on the board. He can be a 4-2 team attacker with lethal. That's good. I could see myself playing 3-4 this outside of the Mantalua deck. But he probably should just be. There are better options for this. He probably should just be in the Mantalua deck. Decent card though. Decent card. If you aim him at a good character, he's probably going to get him. The 3-cost Lillen in the box is Nakota. She's a 3-3-1 Underworld Lillen. And she has Demonic Vision. When Nakota appears, look at an enemy hand and choose a supporting character there. That player discards that card. Hand knowledge is chief in Versus System 2 PCG. And this is no exception. I could see myself playing 2-3 of this outside of Mantle Lilith. I could win the game off of abilities like this. I'm going to win games off of abilities like this. And like she's a 6-6 sometimes, but I know what your turn 3, 4, and 5 are. That's good enough. On team, she's actually the worst. This is the problem I'm gonna have with this box. These cards are not good on being fair on rate in versus is bad on rate because everybody else is playing juice stats, tons of health, lit abilities, and synergy with their main. We can't afford to play cards like this or Meat Market or even Skinner because we are at a huge deficit on the board, on team, and in the hand. I'm only giving a pass to Nakota because I know what abilities like that does, particularly in tournament. It sets you up for the rest of the game. This one keyword when she appears, but she's like your alternative 3. She's a 2-3. She's the worst 3 drop on that team, but she's good. She's not a bad card. This is rough. This is honestly rough so far. Like, I can't play these cards. I can't play these cards in confidence outside of the Mantalilith deck. And they all have one health, so even Mantalilith is going to struggle with these cards. Feels bad. Fang on 4 is a 4-4-1 Underworld Lillen. And he's a formless mass. Fang can't be attacked while melee attacking. He's a 4-4-1 though. If he's not a 7-7, he's Sandman with one health, but on a worse team, arguably. Who are the 4 drops on this team? Can he make it outside of Lillith? MODOK, Massacre, Mr. Hyde, Venom. He's not in good company, but you're never going to play this. You're never going to play. If he was the 3 drop, you could. Man, they all have one health. You're going to lose the ball. Why does Lilith have to go through that? She is demanding that her team carries her. And they're like, well, mom, we need you to carry us. That feels so terrible, man. God, they all cost one. They all cost one too much, and they all have one too few health. As so far, they're not playable outside of Mantalilith. These cards are not good outside of Mantalilith. Oof. Yeah, Fang is no point. I don't even want to cast him in Mantalilith. This card is bad, man. All right, let's move on. Oh, brother. Duck, 5-5-1 for 5. He's fair on rate. He has one health. Underworld, Lillen, he's an 8-8. While attacking a good main character or a good supporting character that your opponent decided to let you attack. Cutting and creating when Doc attacks. Okay, so he's a 9-9 and he pings you for 1. Or he's a 6-6 and he pings you for... I'm out on this too. Oh, man. They needed good stats. They needed to be above rate. They needed to be above rate or have oodles of health or actually do something that matters on the... This doesn't matter. if he's an 8-8 or a 9-9, he was going to get the guy anyway. Whatever. This card's bad, man. Yeah, I'm out on Doc. I'm out on Doc, man. You can't play this in combat. When your opponent is playing, like, insert the blank, you can't play this. Oh, God. Blackout is a 6-cost 6/6/1 Underworld Lilin. Lights out. When Blackout appears, you may daze an enemy character or turn an enemy location. This is... He's actually good. He's actually decent. He build the high view, which could be good. Or he dazes, gets you out of a big guy. I'd be way more excited if he was the 5, though. They all, again, they all cost 1 too many, and they all have 1 too few health. If they were all 2 healths, we're talking about a completely different box. That keyword is actually relevant. That keyword's actually good, though. That keyword actually means something to me. When we were playing Leviathan Beast, and he was one of a kind, you can have up to 4 of that. Morlun. Morlun was a flying Leviathan beast with good stats and 2 health, and you could play multiples of it, and he saw play. This guy could actually see play. He could actually see play if turning down Lokes matters to you, or if getting out of a big guy matters to you. I'll give Blackout the pass. I'll give Blackout the pass. Creed is the 7-cost 7/7/1 Underworld affiliated Lilin. So he's a 10/10. While he attacks a good guy. Separate body parts. When Creed gets KO'd, you may put a copy of him from your hand onto your... Okay. I only have room for 2, maybe 3 sevens, though. He actually demands that you play all 4 copies of this. The artwork's cool, though. He's, like, reaching out to choke whoever he's fighting. I really wish he had 2 health. This could be one of the worst sevens in the game outside of the Mantalolith deck. The idea that Mantalolith has to play 4 of this really bothers me. She's never going to have the... You're always going to lose the board. You're always going to lose the board, and you have to figure it out. Your turns have to be super substantial, turn 6, 7, and 8, and then her children just get lit up on defense again. It's brutal. I don't like this as a 7. I don't like this. I'm not a fan of this. Pilgrim is an 8-cost 8/8/1. Oh, man. Underworld. Lilin. Mystic Portal. Lilin on your... He actually... That's a good ability. His stats don't make up for it, though. Man, this is a bummy out, dude. Oh, my God. Giving your whole team stealth or sniper is good. Him just being an 8/8. If he was the 7, it would have made... I don't understand why they can't have good stats and good abilities. Mantalolith needs them to win the game. Would I play this outside of Mantle? No, absolutely not. No. The worst Omega is better than this card. The worst 8 in the game is better than this card. But he matters to Lilith. He matters to Lilith. Oh my God. Man, I'm not a fan of this mechanic at all, man. Oh, God. Pilgrim's bad. That's bad card. He's bad because you can find abilities like that on 8s that actually close the door and have good abilities and good stats. And 8/8/1, I spent 8 turns waiting to play that, and my opponent untapped and played literally any other outside of this box 7 or any other outside of this box 8 and lit up the board. I'm out. That's all the children. Mantalolith needs help. Desperately, she is in critical condition. She can't win the board ever. She can't ever effectively deal wounds. And you are always behind, regardless of if you flip on 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or don't flip at all. It feels terrible, but this arc is called Children of Lilith. So I'm hoping she picks up some more down the road. This is not a good start to her kit. She basically needs an overhaul on the entire thing, man. Rough. Let's talk about Lilith level 2 now. We talked about all her children. Mantle Lilith at level 2 is a 6/9/6. Big jump on the stats. Good defensive stats there. And she has rainbow stuff. Okay. create Lillian during the ability pair red. Search your deck for a Lillian reveal to put. Okay, so the blue ability switched to red, but you can go get anyone you want. Okay? Summon Lillian during the ability, you may put a Lillian from your hand so you can double cast. Okay. Absorb Lillian. KO a Lillian on your Sephora Green in the main. KO a Lillian on your side. If you do heal a wound from Mantle, that's good. That's a good ability. The yellow and the green I'm interested in. And then respawn Lillian. During the build, you pay a blue, shuffle a Lillian from your KO pile into its owner's deck so that you can get it with a red, or so that you can draw it and yellow it and then green it later. It's crazy to me. Like, she has to suffer day one. She's going to suffer. She needs this arc to really help her out. I can't believe that the Lillian she has to play right now literally are terrible. Some of the worst cards we've seen on rate. And she's like, they need to do it. They have to do it. I can't do it on my own. I can't even flip without playing these guys. But when she, like, the payoff's there. She's gaining life. She's double casting. She's searching for fighting guys. And she's never going to run. Like, that's good. That's good. It's such a shame, man. I'm going to sit tight until we get more Lillian. There's no way this is her kid. There's no way. There's no way. It's unplayable in its current state. It's unplayable. I have to imagine that Mantle is getting a boss card or a boss mode card or something. There has to be a way to bail out those characters. They matter so much. It feels really bad, man. It feels bad. Let's move on to the defender half of the box. Let's move on to the defender's half. There are those that would stand with Lilith and those that would stand against her. We're going to start with Louise Hastings is a one cost 1/1 with a gun defender. One of a kind. A cult archaeologist. When Louise appears, draw a card or shuffle each evil character in each enemy KO pile to its owner's deck. Interesting hate there, and it hates on a couple different things in the game as a whole, but just in this arc, he's trying to hate out Lilith, which is really interesting. That's really interesting. Most of the time, that won't come up, though. So you have a one-cost Sharon Carter, one of a kind. I like that, though. I like that. I like cantrips in this game, and this actually would see play for me. This would see play for me. You can get swifty and, like, play it, flight block it, and you have super senses and teleport up on defense. That's cool. I like this card. Samson Buchanan is the 2-cost, 4/1 range defender, one of a kind. Improved exorcist gun. When Samson stuns an evil defending supporting character in range, he has to shoot the guy. It has to be evil, and he has to put them down. Remove it from the game. He's super lethal. Then, he actually surgicals the guy. This is a good card. It's not as hype as Louise Hastings, admittedly. Like, you have an ability on this in-team through the 3-cost Frank Drake, but +4 fight in a gunshot is pretty good. If you draw this in the first 3 turns of the game, you're actually going to be pretty happy about that because of the rest of his kit, too. I'm a fan. I would play this. Yeah, it's a good fighting, too. 3-cost, we have Johnny Blaze. He's a 2/6/1 defender, aka Ghost Rider. And he has the Hellfire Shotgun. When Johnny strikes an evil defending front row supporting character on Friday at 8:58 p.m. after you've parked your car and wiped your windows, disperse it. It loses it. Like, that's a good ability, but I have to be in the... He has to be in the front row. My opponent's evil guy has to be in the front row. It has to be a supporting character, and I have to attack it and strike it. Too many restrictions on this for this to be the main 3-drop. And he's meta and format depending anyway. He can be the alternative 3 if there's a big time, like Galactus, or a big time evil supporting character. He, like, just gets rid of it. That's cool. I don't think I trust him, though. I would play 2-3 of it. I would play 2-3 of it. He has good stats. He holds up super senses and teleport on defense. He's playable. He's definitely playable. But what if they're not on evil guys? He doesn't do anything. Try two to three of him. But I think he's a 2-6-1 that activates defensive plot twists. Three cost, Victoria Montesi. She's a defender. 2-4-2 health. One of a kind. And she has occult family. When Victoria appears, you may search your deck and KO pile for the Montesi formula spell. Reveal it and put it into your hand. Victoria can cast the Montesi formula ignoring restrictions. So she ignores having to have the Darkhold. She's not a spellcaster, but she can do it. She just has to pay a blue. And she goes and gets it. Okay, if you don't remember, the Montesi formula was you had to have the Darkhold out, but you pay a blue because the blue spellcaster had to use it. It says pick a keyword, stun each enemy supporting character with that keyword. Pay a blue, put a guide. I'm willing to play that. I was willing to play that having to find Darkhold. This removes a step, but you have to see her first. If you see the Montesi formula and not her, you can't ever use the resource. I'm willing to do that, I think. She has to show up in the first 4 turns of the game, but she has 2 health, so you could draw it. This is a cool card. I'm a fan of this because the Torn Pages was actually my favorite spell. That card's brutal. It's pay a blue, stun a guy. If that's the worst it was, pay a blue, put one guy down. That's good. A lot of the times, it could be pay a blue, put 2 flyers down. Or put 3 ranged, hateful idiots in the back row. Stun them? I was willing to do that. She makes it a bit easier. I'm willing to play blue for this. I'm willing to pay the Torn Pages for this. Yeah, give me that. It kind of sucks that she's one of a kind, but I'm willing to take the risk. I am known to play one of a kind bullets. The 4 cost is Frank Drake. He's a one of a kind. So far, they've all been one of a kind, except for the Ghost Rider. 7-5-1 range defender. And he has the Engineering of Violence. When Frank appears, choose an evil enemy supporting character with a super. That ability is pay 4 recruit, stun an important guy. That's good. And then he has Night Stalker. Night Stalkers on your side have dodge. We've seen this keyword before too. The 3 cost Frank Drake gave you lethal. This gives you dodge. I think this is the best fighting 4 on team though. It's a one of a kind though. You can't get too excited about. He's good though. Giving your Hannibal King or 7 cost blade dodge is good. They have to melee. They have to come into you. The lethal was better, though. The lethal's better. I don't think this makes it because the Frank Drake on 3 is just a better card or a better name. They share the same name. But, like, he's not bad. This is the best fighting 4 on team. This is better than Stig. This is way better than Stig. Am I willing to try? Yeah, I think I would try him out. If you're on Jessica Jones and you can flight block this once or twice, he's good. And his ability's good. This should be the last one of a kind. Yep, okay. It's Hannibal King. He's a 5-cost 6-6-2 defender. One of a kind. Detective work. When Hannibal appears, look at it. It's hand knowledge. I don't even care about the rest of this, but Night Stalker. Night Stalkers on your side are great. They grow while they're being fought. He's in the front. He's going to get attacked. This is happening early enough where he's going to be a 7-7. And his kid could actually bail him out. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. Because this is actually a good card. I'm going to play 3 of the original Hannibal Kings. And then 1 of this. They all have the same name. They all cost the same. And I actually like this one better than the Berserker one. Yeah, I'm playing this. I'm playing this for sure. I'm playing this. It's hand knowledge. I'm playing this, yeah. It's a good card. All right. We're almost done here. Morbius. 5-cost, 9-5-1. Flyer. Defender. Ferocious. During melee combat, Morbius strikes before characters without Ferocious. And then he has the Blood of the Guilty. When Morbius KOs an evil defending character in melee and survives, put a vitality counter on him. And 3 +1 +1s. So he's a 12-8. I'm not buying it. I'm not buying what this guy's selling. He's never going to do anything important the turn he comes down. His job, as soon as he lands on turn five, is fly into a card that has one health, and then he can fight. Then he's a 12-8, and he can fight sixes, sevens, and eights. But that first attack is going to be, it's going to feel terrible. It's going to feel pointless. When he picks up the health and the stats, he should never be in danger of leaving the board. But that first attack feels so bad. He's probably okay, though. On team, you have the Hannibal Kings. You have Punisher. You have Hellstrom. Like, he's a good fighter, but that first attack is going to feel terrible. He needs to pick up the health. Blade. 6 cost. 7-7-2 range defender. Preserving the boundary between. When Blade appears, put a +1/+1 counter on any number of good characters. And a -1/-1 counter on any number of evil characters. He actually grows him. He's an 8-8. He is an 8-8. He's going to see himself. And then he's a Night Stalker. Night Stalkers on your side have Martial Artist. This is actually a good card. This is actually a good card. And prior to this box, defenders didn't have this. They didn't have a fighting 6 with 2 health. They had Valkyrie, a combo piece. They had Clea, a pseudo 3 with 1 health. And they had War Machine. Yeah, no. This guy should be making lists for... This is actually a good card. On cost, on rate, he's way better than the 7. And you're going to feel good playing this card for sure. This is a good card, man. Good card. If you play Hannibal King, the Berserker one, and follow up with this, your board could actually get out of control turns 5, 6, and 7. I'm a big fan. And we're going to end this box with a super positive note. A card to think about as we move forward into the Children of Lillian arc. It's Mantle Ghost Rider. He's a 7 cost, 13-1, 2 health defender. Demonic durability. Mantle Ghost Rider can't be struck in combat. He can't be shot and put down. He can't be meleeed and put down. Mystic Chain. When Mantle Ghost Rider is attacking, enemy characters can't gain defense or +1/+1. They can't power up. They can't find cover. They can't super senses. This is a very interesting thing to have in the game. I think for the first time ever in Versus 2PCG, the verticality of the game matters. It actually matters. You're not beating this guy on the ground. It's impossible. The cards that he's asking you to play are so nuanced and specialized in the game that if your opponent doesn't believe that you're willing to play this, they're not going to play them. He's a 13. He walls you out of me. You're not getting through him. You're not getting through this. You have to be able to fly over. And when I first saw this as like the spoiler on the marketplace, I was like, man, what a cool card. This card's actually nuts. Let's take that away. Let's say your opponent figured it out. He's a 13-1-2. He has combat. Effectively, he has combat master plus because they can't power up. He's a 13-1 team attacker. If he team attacks Luke Cage, Daredevil, whatever the case is, your opponent's going down. They're on a clock. Figure it out or you're repenting for your sins. A 13-1 that's unstunnable and doesn't let you grow, you can't pump out of this. You have to think again. You have to stop the combat or you're taking the wound. That matters. That matters for sure. And he's going to see play. Could even be the highlight of the box. His card's really strong. And that's Children of Lilith. You notice I even perked up a little bit towards the defender's half of the box. Mantle Lilith needs a ton of help. Her team cannot do it right now. But the defender's got a huge boost as far as fighting guys, lit abilities, and a curve topper that's actually going to shut games down. You need to be able to fly over this guy or the game just stops for you. That's super huge. I'm a big fan of that. Defenders are definitely in the house. Underworld didn't get that treatment. And Lilith, when she flips, she actually, to me, she matters. She's doing good things. But flipping could be a problem. And without extra Lilin, you wouldn't want to play her anyway. Before I get out of here, the other thing I wanted to talk about was the box itself. Children of Lilith is an Upper Deck exclusive box right now. The only way to get this box is by going to the Upper Deck store. And that's my other piece of Market Watch sneak peek for the next episode. Going into Gen Con and post-Gen Con 2024, it could very well get super duper difficult to find this box if they run out on the store. And I don't think you should skip this for the Defenders. You shouldn't skip this for the Defenders. The Defenders actually matter in this box. And Lilith could matter too later on in the arc. But you can, if you are looking forward to Lilith, just sit tight. Ultimately, you probably have to go out and get this box, because if they run out, you're missing out on huge, huge impacts on Defenders as a team. And like, some of these loans are okay. Some of these loans are okay. Skinner's good, Nakota's good, and Blackout's good. I would play those outside of the Lilith kit. But yeah, I want the Defenders. The Defenders are good. The Defenders are good. And I'm really excited for the rest of this arc. I really, truly hope Mantle Lilith gets some help. But that's it for Children of Lilith. I'm out of here. I'm your host, Boris. This has been Nuke Minute. Peace.